The Michigan Beverage Container Act, better known as Michigan's Bottle Bill, recently celebrated 40 years in existence at a celebration in Lansing sponsored by Shoepan and Sons, whose Shoepan Recycling Division is the largest independent producer of used beverage containers in the nation. Bill Rustem worked for Governor Milliken, the architect of and inspiration for Michigan's landmark bottle bill.
Well, it actually started, Governor Milliken had asked for a bottle bill in 1971 at a State of the State address, and we could never get it through the legislature. He tried and tried and tried. What happened in 1976 is we thought we had the votes to get it out of a House committee, and at the last minute, one legislator went south on us, frankly. And we couldn't get out of committee, and so Tom Washington, who is head of the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, asked to meet with the governor, and they talked, and they said, let's do a petition drive. The Constitution provides for that. That was the beginning of it. The governor, Governor Milliken, was the first person to sign a petition, and we went on. I took a leave of absence from the governor's office, who I was working for at the time, and went over to work with MUCC, and we ended up getting 400 and some thousand signatures to put it on the ballot, and then went through a campaign. You can imagine, we got outspent by a lot, but at the end of the day, the people made what I think was the right decision. If you go back to the 1970s, the principal issue was litter. There were cans and bottles everywhere. And so you make that material valuable, say it's 10 cents at the time, and people picked them up. And the litter problem was pretty much solved for the state of Michigan.
Some Michigan legislators are pushing legislation to repeal the state's 10-cent deposit law on bottles and cans.
Well, the problem with altering it now is that because it was an initiated petition, it requires a three-quarters vote of the legislature to change it. Now, that dime that we talked about that was worth a dime back in 1978 is today worth about 3.5 cents because of inflation. So that would be one change you'd want to make, but getting it through the legislature when the requirement is a three-quarters vote, as provided in our Constitution, is very, very tough. Michigan has always been a leader in protecting the quality environment, and this was one example of that. You know, there are hundreds of others that during the Milliken administration, we passed a wetlands law. We were the first state to ban DDT. We were the first state to ban PCBs. We've always, because of our affinity with the environment, because we're surrounded by the Great Lakes, we've always cared more about the environment than most other places in the world, and we've always been a leader in both in the nation and in the world in environmental protection. And I think this is one of the keystones to that legacy for Michigan.
Tom Emmerich is Chief Operating Officer of Shoepan and Sons and President of Shoepan Recycling.
There's a faction of industry folks that have dealt with the deposit law for the 40 years. They've been trying to get rid of it for 40 years, and certainly if I was in their shoes, I'd understand why. If you're a bottler or distributor and you're forced to handle these containers at their store or on your trucks as a distributor, you know, certainly I get why they call it burdensome, et cetera. But at the end of the day, despite the opposition to the deposit law, the thing that's really cool is that not only is the law extremely well liked, really revered and loved by Michiganders, over 90% of folks really like the law, but it works really well. And even those that are opposed to the law have done a wonderful job in working with the likes of the recycling community, et cetera, to evolve and improve the process from day one. I mean, it's light years different today than what it was back in 1979 when they first started picking up containers. The outpouring of support for the deposit law after the bill was discussed on TV stations and radio stations about it possibly happening was incredible. I mean, unbelievable, the number of responses positive towards the current deposit law and why would we want to get rid of it, et cetera. So I guess I would just defer to that and say, you know, people still love it, and I would be surprised if it was to something like that was to happen, especially in lame duck.
Emmerich doesn't buy the argument put forth by those wanting to repeal the law that the bottle bill negatively impacts Michigan's lowest in the Great Lakes region recycling rate of 15%.
Oh, no, I don't. quite frankly, I think the answer is really simple. The reason that our rate is so much lower than other states is we don't invest. You know, states like Minnesota and Wisconsin are investing over around $20 million a year back into their recycling infrastructure. They ban things from landfills that we don't ban here in the state of Michigan. So, you know, if you really want to increase the recycling rate in the state of Michigan, I believe you need to take more drastic measures, maybe at the state level where you ban certain things from landfills you do need to look at tipping fees. A lot of outstate waste comes in and takes away from our abilities to or desire to recycle. And then certainly if you spend money, Michigan spends about $1.5 million a year on recycling infrastructure, where when you look at these other states that are around us, they spend, you know, 20 times that, and that makes a huge difference. I think that certainly the Governor's Recycling Council that was put together in 2014, 2015 is a step in that direction. They're trying to. You know, everybody knows that we need funding if we're going to do better. So the question is, where does that funding come from? And I think the governor has kind of thrown a shot across the bow of this tipping fee increase as a potential way of funding it. If one's to be really honest about it, I am concerned that are they going to be able to come up with the type of funding that's needed to move the needle? I'll go back and say, no, you don't start by getting rid of the deposit law to make a difference. That's a step backwards. We need to find funding some way or another. And, you know, you look at our roads, we're having a hard enough time finding funding for our roads. And then where does recycling stack up in the list of priorities? So I'm not super optimistic that we're going to get the funding that we need, but I applaud Governor Snyder for attempting it, and hey, you never know. You know, I believe we can do better. I know we need to do better, and I just would really like to see the state figure out a way to get the necessary funding.
I'm Susan Collins, and I'm the president of the Container Recycling Institute, which is a national 501c3 nonprofit. So we're a research and education nonprofit. We focus on beverage container recycling and packaging recycling, and our mission is to make North America the global model for the collection and high-quality recycling of packaging materials. Well, this is really exciting. This is the first time that a state has done this to, you know, an entire party to celebrate the achievements of a landmark recycling law that was, you know, it's 40 years old now, which makes it among the oldest recycling laws in the world, and it has maintained a performance above 90% for all of those 40 years, and it's certainly unique in the United States in that regard, having maintained recycling rate above 90% for a 40-year period. That's just phenomenal.
But, says Collins,
Michigan, the statistics show that Michigan isn't doing so great with all the rest of the materials in the waste stream. And it could really, you know, look at what's happening with the bottle bill here and say, how can we do more of that with the other material types? There's definitely an economic component when, to some extent, recycling does compete against waste, and if waste is just dirt cheap, then recycling looks more expensive in comparison. There are definitely also some other big differences with the way that state laws have been imposed. In so many places, state laws have been imposed that either force municipalities to have recycling programs or incentivize them to do so by gathering funds at the state level and then distributing those funds to the municipalities. Michigan has neither. So without either one of those two things, either an incentive or a mandate, it's just languished.
Collins agrees with Emmerich that repealing the bottle bill is a bad idea.
Yeah, the idea of getting rid of one goes not only counter to what's going on in the United States, but so counter to what's going on in the world. You know, I've been in this job for 9 years, and when I started 9 years ago, 300 million people around the world had a container deposit law where they lived. Now it's over 500 million people. So in the last 9 years, deposit laws have expanded, you know, new deposit laws have come into place in enough places. And I'm talking from Australia to the UK to even a state in India now. And new ones are being announced. There was a new one announced in one of the Australian states just this week. So we're just seeing a tremendous amount of activity The world is especially realizing the importance of these deposit laws when it comes to litter, because the world is waking up to the fact that we dump 8 million tons of plastic a year into the ocean. It's devastating, it's heartbreaking, and people want action on that now. And that was a huge reason for, it was a huge impetus for the deposit law to get passed in the UK, and the same with Maharashtra, India.
Collins believes the bottle bill has worked so well that many Michiganders have come to take its positive impacts for granted.
So I think one of the big reasons for this party is that if you have a really good program in your state, this happens all the time, people don't even know it. They just take it for granted, and they don't understand what the benefits are. It's just something they've always done, and they love it. You know, it scores well in opinion polls, but they have no idea the magnitude of the good that they are doing by participating in the deposit law. So I think that's one of the most exciting things about this actually being an event and us talking about the facts and figures, because they're just staggeringly good. And we need to have that appreciation and then take that as a best practice and share it with others so that they can have these great programs too.
Doug Eichinger is executive director of MUCC. That's the Michigan United Conservation Clubs. He concurs with Collins and says people 40 and younger are most in need of the reminder of the good the bill does.
It's really just a matter of getting in your car and taking a drive down any one of Michigan's roadways, or getting out and taking a walk along any one of Michigan's beaches. It's pretty remarkable that for those of us who've never known anything different, never known anything other than the bottle deposit law in Michigan, that I grew up in Holland, and the idea of having, I mean, when I was growing up, we had alewives washing up on the beach, and the idea that, you know, you had beer cans and pop bottles and all that kind of stuff washing up on the pristine beaches of pure Michigan, it's kind of adopted as the new normal now, that we're just accustomed to this. You know, it's an easy thing to take for granted, but the pictures and the images from the late 1960s, early 1970s, when this initiative was really kind of first getting its sea legs under it, are remarkable.
Eichinger believes improving Michigan's recycling rate is vital, but repealing the bottle bill is the wrong approach.
When we're talking about you know, recycling rates for containers, obviously Michigan not only just leads the region, we lead the country and probably lead the world in terms of removing those items from the solid waste stream. Is there room for us to improve our curbside recycling programs and other recycling programs? Absolutely. But I don't subscribe to the idea that it's necessary for us to undermine the effective, you know, the most effective recycling program that we have in the state of Michigan, in the region, in the country, and in the world, in order to accomplish that. I mean, I think there are real problems that are associated with, you know, the quality of the material, the cleanliness of the material that's getting put out on curbsides. And you know, there's this argument that's being made that if we recapture bottles and cans and that kind of thing and put them on the curbside, we can sort of artificially inflate the effectiveness of those programs. And in reality, what you're doing is just sort of misdirecting from what the problem is. And the problem is, you know, in kind of the quality of that stream of recycled materials. And so I think there's a lot of work to do there. And I think our folks are pretty interested in engaging productively in that conversation, so long as we remain faithful to the bottle deposit law, the thing that has worked so perfectly for the last 40 years. In a town like Lansing, where there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed, I think it's just important to remind people that this is something that works. It's well supported. We're capturing 96% of this material. It's being recycled. It's being repurposed. 92% of people in the state of Michigan support this. We haven't polled moms and apple pies anytime recently, but I would hazard a guess that the bottle deposit law is right up there with those two things. So, I mean, this is an extraordinarily popular program. It's something that the people of the state of Michigan have bought into. It is, you know, it's kind of one of those uniquely Michigan cultural things that we have here. And I just think it's important to remind people about that. Particularly when, you know, we've got lawmakers who are, you know, kind of reaching and grasping at anything that they can to try and, you know, change the way that we do recycling and make some changes to the bottle deposit law and you know, trying to advance this argument that it's outdated, it's unneeded, and that kind of thing. And this is important to remind people that It's highly successful, it's highly effective, and it's well supported.
Mark Shupan is Chief Executive Officer of Shupan and Sons.
Well, first of all, if we pull the deposit in other states where they do not have a deposit and they're doing curbside and this and that, the return rate on aluminum containers is anywhere between 40 and 45% as opposed to over 90. And the plastic or the PET, the return rate is around 20% as opposed to well over 80, maybe even as high as 90 in Michigan. And glass, we would have, I know just what we handle, which is about 160 million pounds. All that glass would either end up in the landfill or you better not go barefoot near the beaches. So, no, and they're really, from a standpoint of what is in those containers, the aluminum cans is a very small amount of it, and if they did that, even the values there are not that great. And today, with what's going on with China, some of the items that at one time at least they collected, they could get rid of. Today, there's not even markets for, and so it's a different world out there today. The main thing is collection is not the same as recycling. Now, there are a lot of ways if you want to increase recycling, but I can tell you we have a very good system, and to change it, what you do, you also destroy a lot of the value of material once it's mixed and things are thrown together. And as you know, once people start throwing things in, a little glass breakage, a little stuff that shouldn't be in there, then you don't have quality products to sell.
For Shupan, one of the ways to increase Michigan's recycling rate is finding ways to create products that use recycled material.
The idea is a number of the other states spend a lot of money to try to have more recycling, either penalties or other incentives to try to get more recycling. The question is what are you going to recycle? What is out there that has value? And if anything has value, it can be recycled. I think the real answer is to find out how can we create products that can use recyclable material where there are markets for it. And if we can make some investment in that, I think that's more the future than just collecting, because collecting is not recycling. And especially in the environment we're in today, we have to be very careful of that, very careful. That we think collection is recycling. You know, we have a beautiful state. We want to keep it that way. And I think if you look at, on a worldwide basis, if you think in terms of saving energy and, all, I mean, for example, let's face it, when water bottles go into the landfill, that's like throwing oil in the landfill. And we know someday this cannot continue. So, I don't know. There'll be things, but it's nice that we have a situation where 80 or 85% of the people really like what they do, even if that takes a little work for them, it's still a very, very positive thing for our communities.
Chris Kolb is president and CEO of the Michigan Environmental Council. For him, there isn't anything magical about improving Michigan's recycling rate.
Now, if you look at states that have high recycling rates, there's really very basic things they do. They have a stated goal. They have a plan to meet that goal. They have revenue to pay for that plan to implement it. And then they review how they're doing and make adjustments to go towards their goal. So every state that has a really decent recycling rate has those exact same components. So it's nothing magical. We in Michigan have never won, up till just recently, really had a recycling goal. We haven't had a plan and how to reach that goal, and we've not put the revenue into it. And since we haven't done the first three, the fourth one of, you know, reviewing what we've done hasn't happened either.
And Kolb concurs that it's not either or when it comes to the bottle bill and curbside recycling. It's and.
So here's how I see it. It's not a question of recycling or bottle bill. It's recycling and bottle bill. It's in conjunction. If you look at some of the states who have high recycling rates but don't have a bottle bill, they're actually looking to add the bottle bill, bottle return law to their toolbox of policy. So it's not an either or, it's really an and. How many policies that are 40 years old are still as effective and as efficient as Michigan's, you know, bottle bill? It's a testament to good public policy and getting good results. If I had an issue as a politician, that had that type of, you know, effectiveness of 96% recovery with a 92% public support, I'd run every time on that.
Heiner Bevers is president of Tomra North America, which designs, manufactures, and sells reverse vending machines for automated collection of used beverage containers. He says bottle bills like Michigan's are spreading around the world.
Despite the fact that bottle bills are more than 40 years in operation, with 40 years in Michigan, congratulations for that, we see that bottle bills are in more demand and more modern and more actual than they ever have been. We are seeing that the concept of bottle bills or deposit laws is spreading across the world. It is expanding in Europe, for example. England as well as Scotland are in the process of establishing legislation on that topic. If we go to the other side of the world, Australia has implemented deposit in two states, in New South Wales as well as in Queensland. Queensland as fresh and new as 1st of November of this year, in the process of establishing this in Western Australia very soon. And on top of that, if we look a little bit to Asia, there are a few states within India which are considering and implementing deposit laws, and also in China and other areas like Hong Kong, deposit laws are under discussion for solving the problems on recycling and litter.
And the 10-cent deposit incentivizes people to return and recycle their used beverage containers and helps keep litter out of our precious Great Lakes.
So bottle bills put an incentive on the fact that people return their empty beverage containers. And as we are human beings and we all sometimes need help to do the right thing, the deposit value is incentivizing people to return empty containers, and containers which are returned cannot be littered and cannot kind of end up in the oceans. And I think the same applies on the Great Lakes in this area, where things which are being littered on streets and parks and beaches might in the end up in the oceans or in the Great Lakes, and that is a big issue which we all know and all I think have seen on TV and a lot of coverage. So therefore we need to find ways to reduce that, and deposit laws are a significant contributor, not the only one, but a significant contributor to reduce this problem.
Bevers concurs with Kolb that bottle bills and curbside recycling can go hand in hand.
So we know that this is not an either or, it actually it's as well as. So we see that there is a need for single stream or similar solutions to kind of separate recycling materials from waste. And on top of them, the very important and valuable recycling elements like bottles, cans, or something like that should be selected and collected separately. Even more so, as we see that out-of-home consumption continues to increase, and out-of-home consumption is difficult and will never end up in single streams.
Tomra's Heiner Bevers believes the world needs to be moving faster toward returning to a circular economy.
The concern we have, and I personally have, is that we're just not fast enough. We have to keep in mind we have a population today which is 7 billion. When we look back in the 60s, 70s, Club of Rome, they basically assumed that the world would collapse already with that kind of numbers, actually smaller numbers. We predict that the world at one point of time will have a population of about 10 to 11 billion. And then the expectation is that it will peak, but nobody ever knows. And, you know, we have to be honest, you know, we want to have a good living, and we should not be so selfish to not allow other peoples to move into the same direction. And if we continue like that, we will not use the resources of the world, which are currently being used at a rate of about 1.5 times the resources of the world. At one point of time, it will be 2-3 times the resources of the world, and it will not be bearable. So I'm not concerned that we are moving the right direction. I'm afraid that we might not be moving fast enough. The world for many years actually was a circular economy. We didn't call it that way, but the way, you know, our ancestors have operated, they basically reused material, things were reused. Only recently, for the maybe the last 150, 200 years, the world has turned from a circular economy to something what we call a linear economy. Extracting materials, producing things out of these materials, and then putting it into waste. So we need to actually come back to the things which were done 200, 300 years ago, where we take the concept of a circular economy where things are reused and reused all over. And if we look for a reference point, we just have to look into nature. Nature doesn't waste anything. Nature recycles everything. And I think that's something we have to pursue. Probably will never be as perfect as nature, but we should at least strive to get as close as possible.
Back to the Container Recycling Institute's Susan Collins, who's seeing two emerging national trends in recycling.
There's two big modernization trends that different states are adopting. One is to follow Michigan's lead and impose a dime deposit instead of a nickel deposit. Everybody recognizes that the reason Michigan's rate is the highest is because of the dime deposit. So, for example, Oregon just changed their deposit from 5 cents to 10 cents last year, and they're on the road to seeing a 20-point increase in their redemption rate. It was 64%. It's gone up into the mid-70s officially, but the month-by-month results are showing that it's getting more into the 80s and 90s now. The other thing that's going on is that these deposit laws, when they were passed, we didn't have a lot of non-carbonated beverages like we do now. Now we've got water and tea and sports drinks and energy drinks, and those things weren't anticipated when the deposit law was passed in Michigan. So six of the other 10 states with a deposit law have recognized that, you know, we need to expand to cover all beverages, not just carbonated beverages, and they've already gone through that process. So that in that area, Michigan's sort of behind the curve a little bit. So that would be what's next for Michigan, and that's definitely a trend in several states. Several states are looking at expanding, the ones that haven't already expanded.
Bill Milliken Jr. was on hand at the event celebrating the 40th birthday of Michigan's bottle bill and says his dad is glad to know that so many people believe in the bottle bill he worked so hard for.
Well, everybody asked tonight, how's your dad? And I was happy to report that he, who turned 96 in March, is living in our family home in Traverse City. And he's healthy and stable. I know that Dad and my mother, Helen, were both very committed to a bottle bill. They had a hard time understanding why there was resistance to it. It seemed like the doctrine of common sense applied to this pretty easily. It has since, but it was tough sledding back then. And certain lobbies were really dramatically opposed to it. Campaign contributions followed, going the other way. So it was tough duty. He will be thrilled to hear that there were so many people here that believe in what they worked so hard for then. He grew up in Traverse City. He's third generation Traverse City. And those elements of outdoors and the Great Lakes, he simply took for granted. And I think when he came to Lansing and found out that not everybody grew up with Grand Traverse Bay in front of them, that he wanted to see what he could do to make those kinds of resources widely available, preserve them.
Learn more at shoepan.com. That's SCHUPAN, shoepan.com. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.